Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Texans schedule's coming out next week, and there's a lot of intrigue here, and there's a lot of possibilities, there's a lot of storylines. It's one of my favorite days. I know you already know who the opponents are, but when you play them does matter. What time you play them, the weather, all that type of stuff. Who could be in the lineup? If a team has a young quarterback, if you play him week one, chances are the guy could not be starting. You play him later, maybe you're going to get the rookie. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of buildup. I just want to go through the most intriguing storyline. Schedule comes out in 5 days. We'll have the world-famous In the Loop schedule game.
I posted mine already.
Next Thursday. First of all, you got the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, you play them twice.
Yeah.
New quarterback Carson Wentz, Jonathan Taylor, that kind of speaks for itself. You're facing a new quarterback a couple times, facing the Tennessee Titans a couple times. I'm intrigued to see what they look like without Arthur Smith. I think Tennessee could be one of those teams that has significant steps back this year. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to miss Arthur Smith. I think those defensive problems are eventually going to catch up. I think Derrick Henry could still ball out, but the fact that they've lost two of their four top receivers in Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis, and they have those issues on defense, and they don't have Arthur Smith. We'll see what happens, but keep an eye on Tennessee. And then you have the most intriguing team to me, the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer. We're going to get our first look at that new regime. We're probably going to see Trevor Lawrence twice on the schedule. That's just the AFC South outlook. What sticks out with those six matchups to you?
Well, that, everything you said, I completely co-sign. On my schedule that I'm eyeballing for, you know, no, not even an educated guess, just kind of analyzing it as I see it, I would think they're going to play the Titans early and the Jaguars early. For some reason, it seems as if the Colts are always one of the late season games, which means they would play their first time against them. Although they, I guess last year or the year before, they played the Titans twice in 3 weeks. I got the Titans early and the Jaguars in week three. So that would be sweet to be able to catch a good glimpse and catch Trevor Lawrence in only his third game if that's the case. I would also say, I mean, this isn't over yet in terms of, you know, some of these acquisition and changes. We were talking about, Aaron Rodgers and some of these other things, and all these teams have quarterbacks, but there's a lot of movement that could be happening here.
You talk about the Texans not having that number three overall quarterback and having Deshaun Watson disgruntled and inevitably on his way out of town. The Texans could potentially get a look at the first three picks in the draft and four out of the five quarterbacks taken. They obviously have Trevor Lawrence twice on their schedule. They face the Jets. The Jets will be coming to NRG. They face the 49ers. I think it'll depend on when you face the 49ers and what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo. If you face them week one or two, you're probably going to see Jimmy Garoppolo, and this is a road game. But if you face them late in the season, let's say, you know, past week 10 or whatever, and they're not playing well or they want to get a look, or Jimmy Garoppolo for another season, which has been his biggest issue, gets hurt, you're going to see Trey Lance. And then you also have the New England Patriots, who Cam Newton's going to start the season, but who knows what happens with Mac Jones. So potentially you could face four of the five quarterbacks that you maybe would have had a shot at had you had your draft pick. Definitely Lance and definitely Mac Jones if those guys get on the field.
You want the Niners early in my schedule. I have them week two. going to San Francisco. Again, this is not official. It's going to be Wednesday, and it's going to be on primetime, and we're going to you're going to have your schedule game going shortly after that on Thursday.
We're just going to predict. It's the world-famous prediction.
Yeah,
and the Patriots are, in fact, the most intriguing one. Bill Belichick has said right away about competition and all this, and Cam Newton certainly. He loves him some Cam Newton.
He said Cam started.
Yeah, he loves him some Cam Newton, but I just can't imagine that, you know, that it's gonna that it's not gonna change.
Also, got to keep an eye on the health of Cam Newton as well as Jimmy Garoppolo. Yes. But the Texans could potentially face four of the five top rookies. So you have New England coming to town. You have the Jets coming to town. You also have the Rams coming to town. That's Matthew Stafford, Detroit Lions quarterback last season. You faced them on Thanksgiving. You're going to face now Los Angeles Rams team with Matthew Stafford coming here, coached by Sean McVay. I don't know that we've seen McVay in that stadium, so we're gonna get a look at Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford.
I don't think we have,
probably. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You have Seattle, the Seattle Seahawks coming to town. Russell Wilson, same old, ho hum. Also, nobody's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Brown coming back to Houston.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
So the return of Dwayne Brown. Dwayne Brown will be in town in that building. I know the Texans faced him when he was first traded. The game where Deshaun Watson, his final game of the 2017 season. But Dwayne Brown will be back in Houston for the first time. Former Texans left tackle. Then you have the Chargers. Justin Herbert and Brandon Staley. Staley was... a candidate, many believe, to be the head coach of the Texans. He instead goes to the Chargers. You're going to get your first look at Justin Herbert. Chargers coming to town. Tyrod Taylor's former team as well. Pep Hamilton was there last year. So you're going to get a look at the Chargers. As far as the road games, there's one that sticks out. And I think this is the most intriguing game of the year. In the desert against the Arizona Cardinals, J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins. I think this should be the second game of the ESPN Monday night season opening doubleheader.
Yeah.
I think you got to get – every team has to have a primetime game. It's a later game because you have that first kickoff around 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Just get the Texans out of the way immediately before they expose themselves as likely one of the worst teams in the league. The intrigue, the buildup. I propose that this game should be the second game of the ESPN doubleheader Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you and I talked about that or about a month ago or so. It just makes too much sense. I mean, J.J. Watt on that promo, on that Monday Night Football promo, just showing him in a Cardinals uniform. I mean, who's not going to watch that? Cardinals and J.J. against the Texans, I would absolutely co-sign that.
It's a wet dream for Mark Berman, to say the very least.
How does it make you feel?
Localizing stuff.
What'd you think of it?
He might get an exclusive with Angelo Blackson's high school coach or something like that as he returns, or he faces his former team as well. Buffalo, you got to go to Buffalo. If you're laying out the schedule for perfection, I think the intriguing thing about this is just the direction that these two teams have gone since the Texans won that playoff game against the Buffalo Bills. Texans beat them in the wild card round. Since
huge
then, Buffalo
comeback.
Has emerged as the biggest threat or one of the biggest threats to the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Texans have gone from being a threat to the Chiefs to now a threat to get the number one overall pick. You don't want to go there late in the year. I think John Lopez can speak to that. You don't want to go to Buffalo in, say, November
stories,
or December.
Man. I got some stories.
You broke a key, didn't you?
I did. I broke a key in a rent car and had to wait for the tow truck and to come into the parking lot as everybody was leaving the parking lot.
Texans then go to Cleveland. So they will go to Cleveland, side of the NFL draft this year. Obvious storylines there. Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. First look at Jadeveon Clowney since he left Houston. So you're going to have Dwayne Brown facing the Texans for the first time. You're also going to have Jadeveon Clowney facing the Houston Texans for the first time. And speaking of which, if we're talking about revenge games and we want to keep that theme going, the 305. Texans go to Miami. You're going to face former Texan Bernardrick McKinney, former Texan Brendan Scarlett, and former Texan Will Fuller. Could Deshaun Watson,
That's
if you're facing the Dolphins late in the season, could Deshaun Watson be a member of the Miami Dolphins? That would be the storyline of all storylines if that was the case, but you're at least going to get a look at Will Fuller, for the first time as not a Texan. Jadeveon Clowney for the first time as not a Texan. Dwayne Brown as the first time as not a Texan. DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt for the first time not in a Texans uniform.
Do you want a huge conspiracy theory? Do you want a enormous
although Dwayne has faced the Texans.
Conspiracy theory.
Yes.
If the schedule comes out Wednesday, just a few days from now, and that's a primetime game, the league knows something. The league knows something about where Deshaun Watson, because people in the know are, the Texans and the agents and other people who know how this thing is breaking with Deshaun Watson. If it's late in the year, later in the year, and it's a primetime game, Deshaun, Dolphin. I'm just saying.
Something to keep an eye on next week. And finally, you have the San Francisco 49ers. You're going to San Francisco. Will it be Trey Lance? Could it be Jimmy Garoppolo? That'll be interesting. But I think the later it is, it could be Lance. Who knows? If Jimmy Garoppolo goes out there and plays well, I think in a perfect world, Kyle Shanahan wouldn't be opposed to just letting Lance sit back and learn, much like Patrick Mahomes. So a lot of intrigue on this schedule. Comes out next week. We'll have a special for you right here on Sports Radio 610, two-hour special, and then we'll have the world-famous In the Loop schedule game right here on your home of the Houston Texans, Sports Radio 610.
Which one would you be, if you purchased tickets, would you be going to right
home
now?
Home game?
Would you buy, sight unseen, home game?
Home game, probably the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I would say the Jaguars or maybe the Jets. We'll see, Zach Wilson and, obviously a new regime over there. Jets might be a good one.
Robert Saleh?
Yeah.
Guy? Robert Saleh's going to be coming into town, get a first look at him. But if you ask me, Jacksonville would be the team that I would look most forward to, which I don't think I've ever said that in my life.
I know.
First time for everything. Yeah. First time for everything. And you're going to get a look at least two of the rookie quarterbacks we know in Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Will you see Lance? Will you see Mac Jones? Only time will tell. We'll have the schedule for you next week right here on Sports Radio 610. Mark Berman's going to be busy with all that localized stuff.
A lot of cross-pollination going on. J.J. with the Cardinals and some of these coaches that could have been here. They're showing Robert Saleh on TV right now. Some of these other players that are going to be, that have Texans connections. Maybe Deshaun. Who knows? Bills.
Brian Gain.
Yeah.
Landry Locker, John Lopez. Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader.
You're tying with the Browns.
Yeah, let's not do that. Although it will.
That play you made with the Browns.
Be done. The song that bothers John Lopez the most. Is it going to be on display at Minute Maid Park tonight when George Springer makes his return? We'll hear from George Springer. He's got a heartfelt message for the city of Houston. And we'll also ask the question that needs to be answered that just might lead to John Lopez walking out on the show. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Astros leaving New York on a high. Yes, it was just 1 out of 3, but Jose Altuve on his birthday hits the go-ahead bomb. 2 middle fingers up in the sky as he exits Yankee Stadium. Gerrit Cole takes the L. Yordan Alvarez, 4 bags, Mr. Bellhop, 2 times. And tonight, supposed to be a sentimental night. It was supposed to be emotional. It was supposed to be mushy. George Springer was supposed to walk to the plate in a Toronto Blue Jay uniform. He was supposed to get a standing ovation from the Astros crowd. Instead, he's on the injured list. Not going to play. I still anticipate a video tribute, but not according to plan for George Springer. Here is George Springer with Mark Berman of Fox 26 talking about what the city of Houston means to him and more.
I want to say thank you to the city, to the fans, to all my teammates, to everybody who I've known along the way, who's had a special impact on my life. I get to the stadium every day and I just like to say hi to people, and everybody always said hi back and would ask how you were, and that means the world to me. So I thank you all for everything. You know, this was a place where I got an opportunity to play, to grow as a person, you know, to grow as a player, and always consider Houston my home away from home. I think the community gave to me way more than I ever gave to them, and it means a lot. It's unbelievable. I'll never forget it, and it's something that I'll always hold very, very close to my heart.
Now, you know, if you asked Alanis Morissette,
oh, here we go,
about George Springer being hurt when he returned home, she would call that ironic, John. Now, is that
George
ironic?
Springer being hurt when he's returned? No, that's not. That's unfortunate, is what that
would
is.
Alanis Morissette call it ironic?
Probably, because everything in that song is not ironic. Everything that she says ironic is not ironic.
Now, this is one of your best takes. This is some of your best investigative work. The song Ironic, which is a great song, you play it anywhere.
I ruined it for some people.
You
and
ruined
I'm sorry.
It for a lot of people. But it is an interesting case study, and I think this is the type of work that needs to be done, because she would say George Springer being hurt is ironic. John Lopez would disagree. Here is the case study that John Lopez has done that I find fascinating, yet somewhat of a kick to the junk of all 90s kids. Here is Ironic, and we will have John Lopez start and pause and basically hike his leg all over
it's
one of the most catchy songs of all time.
It is catchy. Okay, that's not irony. You win the lottery and you die the next day. That's not first of all, let's use this as a baseline. What irony truly is, okay? Irony is you have 100 forks, but you need a spoon. It's two of the same thing, that, and something that you have that but it's ironic that you have this, but you need the other thing. You win the lottery and you die. That's just a bad day.
But what if he killed himself because after he bought the lottery ticket, his finances were getting out of control and he didn't want to face his financial problems?
Irony is between two things. Here, we'll go to the next one.
It's a black fly in your Chardonnay.
Again,
that's a black fly in your Chardonnay.
No. Irony would be they give me a glass of red wine when I ordered a Chardonnay. No, that's not even irony. But you know, say it's
so you're not any better at this than her.
It's Burgundy
critic.
When you want Chardonnay.
You're not any better at this than her.
I'm fixing it. It's all they have is Cabernet when you want Chardonnay. That's irony. It's not a black fly. That's a misfortunate accident.
It's a death row pardon. 2 minutes too late.
That's bad timing. That's bad timing.
Don't you think? It's like rain.
These are the worst ones. Rain on your wedding day is not irony. That's not irony. Free ride when you've already paid, yet again, is not ironic. It's just
that should be right.
No, it's not. No,
I feel like that is irony.
Let me give you. No, it's not.
That's like if you pay for something and it was free. Yeah. It's like, damn, I lost out on my money.
This was ironic. I saw this recently. This is the epitome of irony as well. Somebody posted on Facebook how useless Facebook is. That's irony. That they're posting on Facebook how useless Facebook is. But a free ride when you've already paid, all these other things, rain on your wedding day, that's not irony.
It's the good advice that you just didn't take.
That's a bad decision by you.
And who would have thought it figures? Was to play it safe, was afraid to fly.
Okay.
dry eye.
Last act.
But it is holding life to take that flight.
Okay.
And as the plane crashed down, we thought, well, isn't this nice? And isn't it ironic?
It's not ironic. I'll use her example.
Why does he have to say, isn't this nice?
Yeah, that he's crashing. that's not irony. That's sarcasm. I'll use her example in the song. It's a pilot of that plane who has a fear of heights.
Oh, my gosh.
A pilot of that plane who has a fear of heights. That's irony.
7688 on the text line says his high school English teacher taught them irony using that song.
Well, have her give me a call because none of these examples are irony. I'm giving you real irony.
He's really pissed about this.
I disappointed a lot of people by correcting correctly their grammar. The grammar.
We need a teacher to run in on Lopez.
Any teacher who teaches English has my back 100%. If you know what irony is.
Well, this one didn't. She taught it.
Well, I know, but I think that, I mean, that was it was probably kindergarten.
Said high school.
Oh, high school? No, that's not irony. Irony is, again, you have 100 forks, but you need a spoon. You're a pilot, and you have a fear of heights. You use Facebook to complain about how Facebook is useless.
0854.
That's irony.
0854 on the text line. Mm-hmm. What about Mr. Cal McNair waited 15 years. Finally, the quarterback came here. He waited a decade and a half. Just to get that guy, and then the guy wanted out because of all of his lies. Isn't it ironic?
That's in the neighborhood. That's in the neighborhood of irony. You've waited 15 years for a quarterback,
and you trade him.
And you trade him. If they trade him, it would be irony. Like all you ever wanted to do was acquire a quarterback, and when you get one, you trade him. That's in the neighborhood of true irony.
What about this?
Okay.
The baseball team never won it all. Built up the farm system. Pitched and hit the ball. They waited their whole damn life just to get that ring. But then it got tarnished because of a cheating thing.
No, that's not ironic.
Isn't it ironic?
No.
Alanis would say it was.
Don't you think?
Again, no. That's not irony either. Poor Alanis.
She's killing this one, though.
It's a great song, but it's not irony.
She kills this. What is she even saying here?
I have no idea.
This is the... Start this part over. This is like the... This is the ultimate token white 90s person,
mm-hmm.
where... You sing the words and you have no idea what you're saying. Like, this is the ultimate sing along, and we all do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like the ultimate, like, token white dude on the way to karate or something like that. Your mom's singing, your sister's singing, you're singing. You don't even know what the hell she's saying. Guilty as charged. Guilty as.
You can sing this at karaoke all day long.
Here you go. Now she's going to get ironic.
No, she's not. Listen. When you're already late. What? What was that? What'd
you Traffic say? Jam when you're already late.
That's not irony. That's bad timing.
A no smoking sign on your cigarette break.
That's close to irony. That's in the neighborhood. That's her best shot at irony right there. A no smoking sign on your cigarette break. What's really irony is a no smoking sign in the smoking area, in the designated smoking area. That would be like we have that smoking area at the top of the garage here, parking garage. If there were a no smoking sign out there, that would be irony. She's in the neighborhood, but she still hadn't found irony.
It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife.
Bam, boom. Irony. So she finally landed there.
So she got it.
She finally landed on irony.
I think the next one's kind of irony, too.
It's meeting the man of my dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife.
Not?
Mm. No, I don't think so.
And isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
No, I don't. I don't think.
A little too ironic. And yeah, I really do think.
Well, you're wrong.
It's like rain.
All right. John Lopez.
Great song.
You ruin it. Good for you.
8880. Nailed it. It's an entire song about irony that isn't ironic.
George Springer, not in the Blue Jays lineup.
There you go.
Ironic according to Alanis Morissette, not ironic according to John Lopez. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, should Deshaun Watson give the people of Houston an explanation about why he wants out of town? An NFL insider discusses that with one of the best broadcasters of all time. Plus, the sweetest one out of three ever. Next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Dan Patrick, Adam Schefter kind of went McClain in the loop yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show. This was where Adam Schefter really kind of got caught chasing his tail, discussing the drama between the Green Bay Packers organization and Aaron Rodgers, who has joined Deshaun Watson in the disgruntled franchise quarterback business. This is Adam Schefter and Dan Patrick really just having a discussion. This isn't a report, so it's not like Adam Schefter's credibility got questioned. This is just like two guys having a conversation. I think a lot of times we mix that up too. These guys are allowed to have conversations. Like John McClain's allowed to come on with us and have an opinion.
Of course.
Not everything he says is a report. That's
the reason you have him on.
But he did get caught chasing his tail a little bit. And this was Adam Schefter with Dan Patrick talking about the need or lack thereof of Aaron Rodgers to publicly say something about the Green Bay Packers.
Why hasn't Rodgers spoken, Adam?
I don't know that. That's a great question. To me,
because he can clear up a lot of this rumor, innuendo, what's fact.
It's not rumor, innuendo. He wants out. He wants out. He does not want to be there. That's not a rumor. That's not innuendo. He doesn't want to be there.
Well, no, the other stuff about, you know, how he views Gutekunst, you know, that like there's other things there. You know, I trust what you say that he wants out. But if he does say, hey, you know, they cut my friend Jake Kumerow. Okay, how important was that to this? You drafted Jordan Love. You didn't give me a heads up. Do I have my issues with Brian Gutekunst? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But at some point, I think he owes it to him, himself, and the situation to just tell us what you feel, what you think, instead of us trying to read into it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I don't think he owes that to us.
Well, okay, bizarre. You don't owe it to us, but the Packers fans.
Wait, we ever get a full, honest explanation from Tom Brady about why he left New England?
That's fair. But he was free to go. Like Tom could Tom could just walk away. He didn't have to say anything. He was like, here is my response to all of this. I'm leaving. I'm going to go play for the Buccaneers. This is different.
Okay,
this
so
is good, man.
There'll be more. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers owes an explanation to Packers fans? Because this was what we were talking about with Deshaun Watson before the Rusty Harden and Tony Busby stuff came out and the 22 accusers. Do you think Aaron Rodgers owes Packers fans an explanation here? I also think it's kind of clear. I think Schefter's talking to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
Because he's defending Aaron Rodgers, saying he doesn't owe us an explanation.
Right.
Kind of getting caught chasing his tail a little bit. You can tell that he's talking to somebody. But do you think Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, owe the fans an explanation for why they're choosing to leave?
Yes, but not necessarily right now. You know, oftentimes these explanations, these thank yous, these whatevers happen after the fact. We knew, I'll use the J.J. Watt example. We knew he was going to be moving on. Did he owe us an explanation as to why?
We knew.
I'm saying we knew the explanation, and we could presume, as they are with Aaron Rodgers, they're presuming it's Gutekunst and it's Jordan Love, and it's the way they haven't surrounded him with pieces. But he hasn't said that. So I think that's the best example. JJ, he used Tom Brady, JJ, because we all knew what was going on, but JJ never really said anything. After the fact, JJ talked about, without necessarily naming names, you know, some of the reasons that he left. So, yes, he doesn't owe an explanation, a player of that stature, but not necessarily right now.
Now, that's where Adam Schefter said he doesn't owe an explanation, but then he kind of says he does as he continues with Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show. This is where you can kind of tell he's kind of, I don't want to say sweating bullets, but he's trying to cover a lot of ground with Dan Patrick yesterday.
To me, he's just got to come out and literally cut the cord for everybody and say, I'm not coming back.
But that's why I said he's got to say something, Adam. You're saying
I've
he doesn't.
Felt that.
Okay, but you said he didn't owe us.
No. He doesn't have to.
He
detail.
Owes the situation, so he can't. You want clarity, finality? Then you can. He can create that.
Finality, yes. Clarity, no. I don't think he's got to specify about Brian Gutekunst or Jake Coomer.
No, but he will give us clarity that he truly wants out by saying, I truly want out. There. Now we know I'm not coming back. Trade me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we're kind of looking at with Deshaun Watson. Now we're going to Deshaun Watson, right? And his trade request. Well, I think a lot of people, even though he's been real cryptic about, you know, his desires, a lot of people would feel like he owes at least, hey, I do want out. At least before all this other stuff happened. You know, I do want out, and this is why. I think that's fair. That's fair to say, and Dan Patrick's right.
I think Deshaun, I mean, I think it was pretty clear why. I also don't think it was fully Deshaun's call. I truly believe it was aided by his camp, and I think it was the catalyst, though, was the way the Texans function as an organization under King Bill and Jack Easterby. That was the catalyst, but I also think that it was aided by a desire to make a revolutionary move. That's why we heard about, you know, the documentary that
being legendary,
Jim Trotter tried to bring up and then kind of tried to backtrack. I just think that eventually we'll hear from Deshaun. I don't even know. I think originally we probably would have heard something from Deshaun Watson
at some point.
But do you think we will now? Because of all the stuff that has changed, and it's been one of the most bizarre, wild off seasons in NFL history. I think before, let's say that this legal stuff never happened. And by the way, speaking of the legal stuff, a huge deadline in that whole situation taking place today. We'll give you the latest on that at noon. You do not want to miss, because there is a deadline that has come and gone. And if we don't hear about it, then that'll add to something that we've been saying for a while, even more so. But I think initially his camp was making a documentary. I heard it was going to be Michael Hawley and Michael Smith. I'll just say it. I won't beat around the bush. I heard that was going to be Peacock TV. That was probably going to be the direction that David Mulligetta, Athletes First, all them went, was that was going to be the documentary. I think that's what Jim Trotter was talking about when he talked to Rich Eisen. But now that this legal stuff is taking place, are they going to keep rolling? Are they going to keep rolling? Are they going to, with all this legal stuff, still put that documentary out? Because to me, unless you're going to put the legal stuff in there with the documentary, I think it almost comes across as somewhat tasteless because you're kind of ignoring a serious situation. And it comes along as, and I think Deshaun Watson came across as fake a little bit ever since he signed the contract. And this is in hindsight. I thought he came across as a little bit unauthentic. I think his crew, there are certain people in his crew that have come across as unauthentic in this whole thing. If you're going to do that documentary, you got to put that stuff in there, right? Are we going to still get the explanation? Or do you just kind of ignore that because it kind of takes a backseat to everything that's happened the last 2 months?
I would fire anyone who doesn't want to keep doing this documentary if I'm Deshaun. And here's why. You don't necessarily have to release it next year. You can release it after he retires. I'll give you the Michael Jordan documentary. How awesome was that?
Kanye just sold one for like $30 million to Netflix.
So I would absolutely
just hold off on it.
Absolutely keep doing every gritty, gory detail. Keep doing this documentary, but you don't necessarily have to release it until 10 years from now and make another $100 million or whatever, $50 million.
What about the explanation? Because I think Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded. And then
maybe you can release some stuff as a camp. This is behind the scenes.
No, I agree with you on the documentary. I think he can hold off on that. Yeah. I think that kind of takes a back seat, but you hold off, wait till the dust settles. Mm-hmm. You're obviously in control of it, so it's not like you have to put too much out there. I think there's a timeout on that. Yeah. They press the pause button.
But
they
keep rolling.
But as far as the explanation goes, because I think Aaron Rodgers gets traded. I think Aaron Rodgers does an interview. I think Aaron Rodgers talks about why he was pissed off at the organization. He does that. With all the stuff that's happened to Deshaun Watson, regardless of what did or didn't happen, there's going to be some image repair. There's going to have to be, not necessarily seeing the light, but he's going to have to focus on other things. He's going to have to make some changes.
Yeah.
Does he do an interview talking about, because no one's going to sit down with an interview, and let's say that he sits down with, name somebody, Josina Anderson, something like Michael Smith, Michael Hawley, whoever he wants to sit down with. He's not going to sit there and the first question is going to be, why did you want out of Houston? There is a new A topic with Deshaun Watson. Yeah. So does the explanation just get kind of swept aside and forgotten? Or does he come out and say that?
I think he has to address this. Now, to what degree, right? You can't move on to your next spot and be accepted without some sort of, and something more than, hey, I just want to leave that in the past. No, it has to be, you have to address something about this.
Does it reemerge? Like, do we go back to what we were talking about January 2021 through March of 2021, where it was just all about the standoff, and then the standoff kind of went in the back of the line, and we were talking about the legal battle? So if the legal battle gets resolved, and let's say there is a settlement, do we just go right back to the standoff? Does it intensify and we start talking about the trade? Does it just emerge all of a sudden?
I mean, they are tied together, right?
Yeah, but does the standoff come to the front of the line if there's a settlement?
For us, 100%. Okay. I think for most people.
Okay.
Just because, okay, there's a settlement. Because here's the thing, and the reality is, again, this is just us projecting it. We don't have any facts on this. But if there's a settlement, as unfair as it is, most people are going to be thinking, well, okay, well, he did it, but he settled. Right? I mean, that's just human nature. Could be 100% wrong.
He did. I think they would say by
he did something.
Something.
Yeah, yes. He did
well,
something.
Well, I mean, his camp admitted as much.
Right.
His camp has admitted so as people much. Are Rusty Harden put the email out. Right. He needs to learn a lesson for putting himself in this spot.
Right. People are going to eye roll that whole thing. Okay, well, this is what happened when rich people get charged with something,
it
right?
It is a popular topic. When you say it, there's a lot of assumptions. Yeah. He did something reckless.
Everybody's going to assume there's some level of guilt. Let's move on. And they're going to talk about the standoff. That's going to be the A topic.
Because the stories won't be coming out. There's another accuser, another accuser, another accuser, another accuser.
Right.
And that's where it's going to be. It'll be interesting. I know we will hear from Deshaun Watson in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, we have to.
I mean, he's going to do, whether it's a sit-down interview, I think his camp's going to try to put it out there. I think it's still going to be the Michael Smith, Michael Hawley situation, but something is going to happen. Although Jim Trotter, well, can't say much more. Can't say much more. It's documented. Can't say much more. Give me a break.
I'd rather not say.
Figgy, get the hell out of here with that. Astros, 1 out of 3, baby. Never felt so damn good. Astros leaving Yankee Stadium with their head held high.
Look at Landry peacocking like... like this is what
their
he wanted
head
all along.
Held high.
Yeah.
Some wins are worth more than others. Momentum during a 162 game season is so valuable. And when Jose Altuve on his birthday,
how come you weren't saying this Tuesday?
Hits the home run, you just gotta love it. Yordan Alvarez 2 home runs off Gerrit Cole, you just gotta love it. Let's go back, Jose Altuve, the hero of last night's game. We'll hear that in a sec, but let's start with Yordan. Yordan was kind of struggling. He was facing Gerrit Cole, former Astro, highest paid pitcher in baseball. Astros trailing 1-0. Yordan Alvarez, 4 bags, Mr. Bellhop.
1-2 pitch is crushed down the right field line and into the second deck. Air Yordan flies once again in Yankee Stadium.
And look, I said it at the beginning of the year. I expected, 18 home runs from him because I expected him to still have lingering effects of his injuries and just not being able to stay on the field. Hey, man, he's staying on the field. He is staying on the field, and he's just going to smash and smash and smash.
Well, he smashed, and then he smashed because, once again, Yordan Alvarez versus Gerrit Cole. Potty mouth these nuts.
Alvarez. Has he done it again? Deep to center field. Yes, he has! Yordan Alvarez for the second time today against Gerrit Cole goes deep. This one to straightaway center field. We have a one-run game.
A ball for the right field seats, a ball for the center field seats. That was the Houston version, courtesy of AT&T Sports. But I want to make Figgy, I want to give Figgy a second job. He doesn't need a second job, but I want to make Figgy a waiter. And I want to hear the call from the Yes Network and Michael Kay. But before that, Figgy's got to do what most waiters do when you first sit at the table. He's got to hydrate us.
Hey, what's your drink?
Yankee Tears, please.
Drilled deep to right field. It is a tie game. That one goes into the second deck. High fly ball. Deep center. Going back, Hicks. He's on the track. He's at the wall. See ya. Into Monument Park. Second home run for Alvarez. And it's 3-2, Yankees.
It would be 3-2 when little Jose Altuve, the birthday boy, came to the plate. Jose Altuve at the plate. Astros looking to avoid the sweep. Jose Altuve looking broken early on. We were wondering about the yips. We were wondering if he could mentally come back. Jose Altuve celebrating his birthday in style.
Altuve drives one deep to left field. All the way back. Gone! Jose Altuve on his 31st birthday. Hits a home run that probably feels as good as any in his career. A three-run shot and gives the Astros a 5-3 lead.
Astros end up getting the win, capped off with some Aflac from Martin Maldonado, also known as insurance. A little insurance run from Machete down the line. Astros win 7-4. They take one of three. It's never felt so good. Let's hear from Gerrit Cole at the podium after the game. Gerrit Cole got taken yard by Yordan twice. Here's Gerrit Cole in the pinstripes after the game, talking about taking the L from his former team.
With Alvarez in particular, how much do you second guess those pitches in the fourth and then in the seventh?
Yeah, the fourth was, it's obviously just a mistake. I mean, I tried it once and tried to double up on it, and it was a pretty good pitch, but it was, you know, not as close to him as the one before. I gave him a chance. And then, you know, I just pulled the last one, so. Yeah, that happens.
Garrett, what was it like pitching against the Astros for the first time since you came here?
Yeah, it was tough. They put together a lot of good at-bats. I felt like I played chess out there for a couple hours. Always enjoyable to go up against some of the best competition, and so it was a good fight.
Hey, Garrett, I'm just curious how you felt about the way the crowd reacted to the Astros today and the series in general. And did it feel almost like a playoff game? Is that your manager was saying moments ago? It was a different level of intensity.
Yeah, there was a different level of intensity, certainly. My experience has been no fans and then only like 9,000. So quite a bit of energy the last 3 days. Looking forward to seeing more of it.
Just look, and he's right. I mean, the pitch was not where he wanted it to go, the second one. But he's got a little bit of a different cat himself. He's not grinky weird, but different, I should say. But he's got a little bit of a different
drop that GD.
Yeah, he did. I thought that was Dusty when I heard it at first. I thought it was Dusty.
What
from
would GD say?
Like he was excited, you know, like because he, you know, when it comes off the bat, you know where it's going.
Astros host the Blue Jays tonight at the Juice Box. George Springer will be there, but he will not be in the lineup. He is injured.
Is it ironic?
No, it is not. Shout out to Alanis Morissette. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. It is the 2-week mark of a very important date in the Deshaun Watson situation. We'll give you the latest on that and why a quiet weekend could mean clarification for what we already believe. Lunchtime next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.